Good morning. Thank you for joining us again today. My name's Nathan. I'm one of the pastors here at Enfield Town Community Church. As we begin this morning, I want you to hear some words from Psalm 34. And in Psalm 34, we read this: "Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." That's what we gather in this online way to do this morning, to exalt God. And so we're going to begin our time with exactly that. We are going to sing together, all creatures of our God and King. Please feel free to sing along at home or to simply reflect on the words that will be sung to us.
Of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing. Oh, praise him, alleluia. Thou burning sun with golden beam, thou silver moon with softer
together. Almighty and sovereign God, you are King of this world. and you hold all things in your hands. You created all things, and by your will we have our being. We gather together today to exalt your name, to bring you the praise and honor that are due to your name. We gather to magnify you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We praise you. Please help us in this hour or so that we have together. Please comfort us, teach us, encourage us, bring us assurance today. Forgive us our sins, the sins of this past week, even the sins of this morning. And draw near to us, please, as we seek to draw near to you in worship. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, boys and girls, it's time for the next installment of Everything a Child Should Know About God. And we're going to go back over to Glenn in his shed to get the next bit of that book.
Hey, guys. I hope you're holding up. As you know, we are working through the sections of this book, Everything a Child Should Know About God. And we are on to section 5. Jesus comes to help us. Jesus comes to help us. And it's really important to see that as Jesus's mission. He didn't just come to teach us. He didn't just come to turn water into wine. He didn't just come to multiply fish and bread and all the other great things that he did, but he came to help us. And that's really important for us to see. And this lesson really combines well with last week's lesson. If he's come to help us, what's he come to help us about? Well, if you remember last week, we saw that last week was about sin is a big problem. And for our phrase this week, I wanted us to combine it with last week's phrase. So as you might remember from last week, we said sin makes us go, oh no. Well, this week, I'm going to say to you, when sin makes us go, oh no, you then need to respond, who can help us? Super Jesus. You got that? So your response is this, who can help us? Super Jesus. Why don't you say that bit with me? Ready? Who can help us? Super Jesus. So let's try that all together with me saying the first bit and then you responding. When sin makes us go, oh no, who can help us? Super Jesus. Brilliant. And that's really important to remember, because when you're in trouble, you need to get help from the right place. Because, oh my goodness, oh no, what's going on? Oh no, my room, it's on fire. Oh no, what do I do? What do I do, my room? I need help. Guys, help me quickly. Out of these four, who do I need to call for help? Quick, which one for my fire? Quick, pick the right person. Quick, say it out loud. Yeah. I need the fireman. Let me call him. Let me find my phone. Let me get my phone. Okay, yep. Oh, I need help. I need help, Fireman Steve. Come and help me. Oh, help, Fireman Steve. Oh, who's this? Who's this coming along? Look, it's Fireman Steve on his fire engine. Oh, and he's got his hose. Quick, put out all the flames. Oh, good work, Fireman Steve. I'm so glad I called Fireman Steve to come and help me, because that was really scary. What? Oh, what's happening now? Oh no, I've been flooded out and I'm now stuck in the middle of the ocean. I'm stuck, help me. What a big problem. Who do I need to call? Quick, out of these four people, who do I need to call for help? Quick answer. Yes, I need to call the lifeguard. Oh, quick, let me ring for the lifeguard. Hello, lifeguard, I need help. Please come and help me. Oh, look! It's Stevette! It's Stephen's sister, Stevette! And look, he's coming! She's coming even on a boat to come and rescue me! Oh, thank you, Stevette! I'm so pleased! I called you, I asked you for help because you came and helped me that time really scary, really quickly, didn't it, boys and girls? I'm so grateful that Steve and Stevette could help me when I had those big problems. But here's the thing. We don't need saving from a fire or help from drowning lost at sea. Well, I hope you don't. We all, though, need help with our sin. And a fireman or a lifeguard can't help us with that. Only Jesus can help us. And that's why he came to help us. You see, Jesus didn't seem very impressive when he came down to earth. In fact, he was born into a smelly, horrible stable, a place where animals lived and ate. But in that stable came the greatest helper of all time, because he didn't stay a baby, but he grew up to die on the cross. Why did he die on the cross? Because that was the only way to help us with our big problem of sin. It was the only way to rescue us and to help us. That is why Jesus came. So let's try our phrase one last time. Remember, when sin makes us go, oh no, who can save us? Sorry, who can help us? Super Jesus. Brilliant. Back to you guys at the church. God bless.
Well, thanks so much, Glenn. We're now going to have some readings, two readings from the Bible. Again, these will be readings without explanation. It's good for us to hear God's word together. And the first of those readings today is from Isaiah chapter 40, starting at verse 18. And then our second reading will be from 1 John chapter 4, starting at verse 7. Isaiah chapter 40 and 1 John chapter 4. And today those readings are going to be brought to us by Hugh and Abby, friends from the church. And so I'm going to hand over to them.
Hi, everyone. The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 40, starting at verse 18. That's Isaiah chapter 40, beginning at verse 18. With whom then will you compare God? To what image will you liken him? As for an idol, a metal worker casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold and fashions silver chains for it. A person too poor to present such an offering selects wood that will not rot. They look for a skilled worker to set up an idol that will not topple. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.
The next reading is from 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, starting at verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be Saviour of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God, yet hates a brother or sister, is a liar. Whoever does not love their brother and sister, whom they have seen, cannot love God, whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister.
Thank you so much, Hugh and Abby. We're now going to continue in our worship of God. We're going to sing a song called King of Kings, offering afresh our lives to Jesus as the one that we serve. Please feel free to sing along at home or to remain seated and to simply reflect on the words that are being sung to us.
Out in grace, your might.
Well, this morning I thought it would be good for us to say together one of the ancient creeds. Creeds are words that have been written down in the past that churches were meant to say together to help them to remind them of the things that they believe. And today we're going to say together the Apostles' Creed. The words should appear on the screen and we can say this together. But it reminds us of the things that we believe, and we're able to say these with one another, declaring together the truths that we believe about God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so let me lead us, and let's say together, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Well, Rob and Claire, who are members of the church here, friends of the church here, are going to now lead us in a time of prayer.
Hi, everyone. Claire and I are leading our prayers this morning. But before we start to pray, I thought it would be helpful to share a verse that I found so helpful during this time of lockdown. And that verse is Romans chapter 12, verse 12. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. As we look forward joyfully to the hope that we have in Jesus, it will issue in our being patient, even in the midst of affliction. And that, in turn, will translate into faithful prayer. So with God's word turning around in our minds, let's bow in prayer together. Let's pray. Our gracious and living God, we bow before you and praise you for the glorious hope that we have. Thank you so much that our hope is as certain as Jesus' resurrection from the dead. And there's nothing at all in all creation that can separate us from your love to us in Christ Jesus our Lord. Father, in the midst of our confinement, please fill us with joy in the hope that we have in Jesus. Help us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Please help us to set our hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at your right hand. And as we remember that heaven is our home, fill us with joy, we pray, not fleeting joy that comes from changing worldly circumstances, but gospel joy that comes only through trusting Jesus our King. Father, we pray that more and more people around our borough of Enfield will come to know our King, Jesus, and to share in the joy that comes through him. Please help each of us in the situations that you've placed us in to be known as those who are joyful in hope. Please especially help those essential workers who are your children to exude joy in their hope. We pray this especially for NHS workers. Father, we thank you for them and pray that you'd give them much grace to be joyful in hope.
Father, as we think about the circumstances of so many in our nation, so much suffering, fear and anxiety, we ask for patience in affliction. Our Father, we would especially bring to you those of our own church family who are afflicted in different ways. We continue to pray for Chris, Jenny and Valerie. We pray for Shirley's treatment this afternoon too. Would each of them fix their eyes on Jesus and know patience in their affliction. Please fill them with joy at the hope they have in Christ. Father, we commit Les Woolmer to you and ask that you would give him great patience and glimpses of Jesus on the throne of heaven, and that you'd fill him with the joy that nothing can take away. Please particularly help Joan. Give her patience. Please enable her to depend prayerfully upon you for all that lies ahead. Please strengthen Margaret Wilmore in her love for Jesus. Give her patience in affliction and grant that she might know your love for her at this time. Would you draw near to Mary, and would she know your peace which transcends all understanding, guarding her heart and her mind in Christ Jesus.
Heavenly Father, we remember to our mission partners at this time. Would you have your gracious hand upon them? We pray for the Fowlers, thanking you that their lockdown has eased a little. Please protect and sustain them. We pray especially for the opportunities that Rose has through the Christian Union that she started in her online school. Please help her always to be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks her about the reason for the hope that she has. Please strengthen and guide the Potters, especially whilst they're prevented from returning to Mozambique. Would they trust your sovereign care? Would you continue to help the Shorts in lockdown in Madrid? Give them great patience, and would you enable them to make all the preparations that they need for their transition back to the UK? Thank you that your word is not chained, and please would you be at work in the lives of many in Madrid through the Gospels that have been distributed. Please would the Howells know the joy and patience of our Lord Jesus at this time. And would you help the Tinkers in Vietnam? Please be to them all that they need. Father, thank you so much for the privilege of prayer. Help us to be quick to pray and faithful in wrestling in prayer at this time. Through this crisis, please advance the gospel, and would we know what it is to be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. We ask these things for the glory of your name and the eternal good of many. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hope you all have a great day.
We're now going to have our main Bible reading that we're going to be spending our time looking at together this morning. And this morning we come to the last in our series in Matthew's Gospel. We've been working our way through over the past few months, Matthew chapters 8 through to 10. Last year we spent some time in Matthew 5 to 7, chapters 5 to 7, the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus gathers his disciples, there's a crowd listening in, and he teaches them up a mountain what it looks like to be a follower. Chapter 8, where we began our series, we find Jesus coming down the mountain. And chapters 8 through to 10 really teach us what it looks like to follow Jesus in the real world, down the mountain, outside of the classroom. What does it look like to follow Jesus? And we wrap up that series today in Matthew chapter 10. It's a long chapter, lots of information, lots of good things in there. But let me read that to us, Matthew chapter 10. And starting at verse 1. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and illness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal those who are ill, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belts, no bag for the journey or extra shirt or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. Truly I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and be flogged in the synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. Truly, I tell you, you will not finish going through the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. The student is not above the teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for students to be like their teachers and servants like their masters. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebul, how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them. For there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds life will lose it. And whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me. And anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. This is God's word to us today. Let's pray together and then let's have a think about some of the things that are contained in this chapter. Our gracious God and Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this series that we've gone through in Matthew's gospel together. Father, we thank you for showing us in fresh ways what it is to follow our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, teach us this morning. Father, there's a lot in this chapter, more than we'll be able to get to today. But Lord, give us ears to hear. Please be speaking to us into our lives, showing us what you want us to be doing, particularly in these days of the coronavirus. Father, teach us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have three words as a church, three words that we use a lot to capture our aim. That is to make Jesus known as we ourselves grow to know him better. Hopefully you haven't forgotten those three words while we've been in lockdown. But the three words are these: gather, grow, and go. And the question, I guess, that looms is, has lockdown changed those three things? Has lockdown somehow pushed those three words that we use a lot as a church to one side for a while? Well, hopefully we'd say no. Gather. Well, okay, we can't physically gather in the room that I'm standing in, but we are trying to still be community, to gather together. We gather on the phone, we gather in our online meetings, we gather by letter, we're seeking to be community. So lockdown hasn't kind of pushed that one to one side. Grow. I pray every day that as a church we would grow in these days. Grow to know Jesus. Sundays as we gather and get the Bible open. Tuesday evenings. I really hope you're picking up the Bible by yourself and growing to know Jesus. Hope you're diving into some good Christian books in these times. Grow. We can still grow in lockdown. But the question is, what about going? Can we go in these days? Can we still make Jesus known in these days? Can we still take the message to other people? Or is that one that we're meant to kind of come back to once the lockdown's over, once social distancing has passed? You know, is God kind of saying to the church, well, you know, just take a break for a while from going, take a break from the go bit of your plan, of your aim? Or are we just at this time meant to be a gathering and growing church? Or maybe we could even park the gathering and saying, well, this is just a time to grow. Well, I want to show you this morning that the answer is no. Even in lockdown, we must still be a church family who are going with the message of Jesus. The last few verses of Matthew chapter 9 that Tim took us through last week, and the whole of chapter 10 that we have just read together, underline for us, Jesus is emphasizing for us that it is an essential part of following Jesus to share in the mission of Jesus. And so what I want us to do today is to spend some time from Matthew chapter 10 thinking about going to others to make Jesus known. And I want to think about that this morning, especially in the context of the time that we find ourselves in, this time of lockdown. See, before the coronavirus and during the coronavirus, the great need of our world hasn't changed. Come back with me to Matthew 9, verse 36. Tim took us through this last week. When he saw the crowds, Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus looks out at the crowds, he looks out on the world, and he sees people harassed and helpless. Well, that need hasn't changed. If anything, it's been heightened, hasn't it, by this pandemic that swept the world. The world's harassed and helpless. People need something. In verse 37, he says to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. There is thousands of people, the 50,000 people in and around Enfield town still need to hear the good news of Jesus. There's a huge harvest. The need hasn't changed. And so when we come to chapter 10, who is it that we find at the very center of the story of how Jesus is going to send workers into his harvest field? Who do we find at the center of taking this message to the people of the world, the message of Jesus? Well, it's his disciples. It's those who follow Jesus. Look at chapter 10, verse 1. Jesus calls his 12 disciples to him, and he gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and illness. Jesus calls people to him, his 12 disciples. He equips them. He gives them authority. Then what does he do with them? Well, have a look at verse 5. These 12, what does it say there? Jesus sent out. Very first word in verse 6, he says to them, go. On this day that's recorded for us in Matthew 10, these 12 men learned a crucial lesson about following Jesus down the mountain in the real world. Following Jesus means sharing in the mission of Jesus. Following Jesus means sharing in the mission of Jesus. And whilst there are some unique things about these 12 men and their Jesus-given authority that we see in this chapter, lots of the lessons and instructions that Jesus gives to these 12 men in this chapter have been passed down to us, or contain things that are passed down to all disciples of all generations, wherever they are in the world. Because we too, if we follow the Lord Jesus, if we're trusting in him, are meant to share in this mission of Jesus. We too are called by Jesus through the gospel. We too have been equipped by Jesus with the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we too have been sent by Jesus. Even in this time of lockdown and having to keep our distance from others, we are still to be active in sharing the message of Jesus with others. We're still to be active right now in the mission that Jesus is working on. And to help us work through some of these instructions, it's a massive chapter, chapter 10. There's no way we could kind of really get it to all the details in a sermon. But to help us just work through some of what's going on in chapter 10, I want to ask some questions. Because I suspect that as we hear this morning afresh Jesus reminding us that you and I are meant to be out on mission, we're meant to be sharing in the mission of Jesus, there's probably lots of questions that come to our heads and our hearts as we hear Jesus remind us of that truth this morning. And so here's some questions that I hope will just help us navigate through chapter 10. Question number one is this. Okay, Jesus, we get that we're meant to share in your mission, but what's involved? Jesus, what's involved in sharing in mission with you? Well, the first thing, actually, I want to take us back to what Tim did last week, because it's really important to start here. 9:38, chapter 9, verse 38, Jesus says to his disciples, ask the Lord of the harvest. I don't want to spend much time there. Tim took us through that really helpfully. But that's where we've got to start. As we share in this mission of Jesus to go, it's got to start with asking Jesus. Jesus, please provide what is needed. This is your mission. Please, would you raise up workers? Please, would you provide the resources? But then, having prayed, look at chapter 10, verse 7. This sharing in the mission of Jesus, he says in verse 7, as you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Going, participating, sharing in the mission of Jesus at its heart is about proclaiming a message with our mouths. It's the message that the kingdom of heaven has come near. Or to put it in another way, it's the message that Jesus, the King of heaven, heaven in its eternal nature, heaven in its perfection, heaven without its disease and sickness, heaven, Jesus, the King of heaven, has come down to earth to take the broken people of earth, the brokenness of earth, and to bring it the blessings of heaven, to restore it to the blessings of heaven. That's what we mean when we say the kingdom of heaven has come near. Jesus has come to take people in the brokenness of earth and restore us to a relationship with the God of heaven. He's come to put this world in all its brokenness back to the health of heaven. Now, there's lots involved in Jesus accomplishing that. But the point is, that is Jesus' message. And the disciples were meant to be going with this message. The kingdom of heaven is near, because that is the very same message that Jesus himself declared. Chapter 4, verse 17, we find Jesus saying the same thing. Repent. Turn around. Stop what you're doing. Believe. The kingdom of heaven's come near. Jesus calls people to believe in him, to trust in what he came into this world to do, that he was crucified for our sins, that he was raised to life to secure our future life, our resurrection. Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven's come near. And friends, we have not truly shared in the mission of Jesus until we have proclaimed that message to others. And friends, that is something that we can still be doing in these days of lockdown. We may be locked down in our locations. We may have to keep our distance from others, but we're not locked down in our voices. Going involves proclaiming. It involves declaring the message of Jesus to others. And what else are we meant to be doing? Well, we can't ignore verse 8, can we? If it's primarily about growing, look at what he says to them, the disciples in verse 8. Heal those who are ill, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Well, for these 12 men, their preaching was to be accompanied by healing, by raising the dead, by cleansing the leper. That was people who were kept away from the worship life of the temple because of an illness, and drive out demons. Here is a cluster of miracles that get right to the heart of the brokenness of our world. And Jesus says that these 12 men were to perform these miracles as they went out with the message of Jesus. These are the very same miracles that Jesus did. It's deliberate. Matthew is deliberately showing us that these men have been entrusted with the mission of Jesus to carry it on. These men are truly the messengers of Jesus with the message of Jesus. And so the question is, well, if that's what the apostles were sent off to do, what about us? Should we be expecting to do these kind of miracles as we go with the message of Jesus to others? Well, Christians today think very differently, don't they, about the place of miracles in the world, even in mission. Do we still believe that God works miracles today? I believe we do. I think we see him work miracles. But was there something unique about the miracles of Jesus when he came to earth and he preached the message? Was there something unique about the miracles of these 12 men that Jesus gave particular authority to? Absolutely. See, their miracles are the ones we declare. Their miracles are the ones we proclaim. Because Luke tells us that Jesus was a man accredited to us, approved to us, confirmed to us by his miracles. His miracles gave weight to his message. The message that in Jesus, At this time that he came to earth, the kingdom of heaven had really come near. I think of it like this, if you want to. Imagine that a man is walking up and down the streets of Enfield. Imagine we're not in social distancing. And he's saying to you, look, follow me and I will make you rich. That's an attractive message. You think, well, yeah, I'd love some of that. But then, you know, how do you believe him? What indication do you have? But imagine that you see him putting £500 into the hands of somebody. And then a bag of money into the hands of your neighbours. You see, in a similar way, the recorded miracles of Jesus, the miracles that surrounded his coming, and the miracles that surrounded the 12 apostles whose teachings we now have, and I think even on occasion today, these miracles authenticate the message that Jesus really is the one who can restore us to the blessings of heaven. That in him, the kingdom of heaven really did come near. These miracles of Jesus and the apostles show us that Jesus' message is to be taken seriously. He truly is a message for the people of our world who feel the brokenness of our world. He's a message for the ill, for those who are dying, for those who are separated from God, for those who are living under the oppression of the evil one. This is a message for us. The miracles of Jesus show us that he truly can restore us to heaven. And that makes the message that you and I hold in our hands, the message of Jesus, one that is highly relevant, not detached from, but highly relevant to the times we find ourselves in. The message of Jesus, the King of heaven who's come near to restore us to heaven, that makes that message one that speaks right into the heart of the coronavirus. Friends, what are we to do? What's involved in sharing in the mission of Jesus? Proclaim him. Speak of him. Share the message of him. When was the last time that you shared that message with someone? Do we have any more relevant message at a time like this? So question one, okay, what's involved, Jesus? Proclaim the message. Question two, though, that arises, well, okay, we've got a message, but who should we go to, especially at a time like this? Well, the simple answer that comes out of chapter 10 is that we'll go to anyone who will listen. Now, we might get a bit confused by this chapter. Look at verse 5 and 6. Jesus here says to his disciples, "Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel." Now, that's a bit confusing, isn't it? I thought Jesus was for everyone, you might say. And actually, aren't everyone like lost sheep? Hasn't everyone wandered away from God? And the answer is yes. We need to remember that we're only at Matthew chapter 10. By the time we get to the end of Matthew's gospel, we find Jesus saying to these very same people and others, go to the nations, go to all people. And so what are the principles then that we're learning from this chapter about going to others, who we go to? Well, we see some things in verse 11 to 13 that will help us. Look at verse 11. "Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If not, let your peace return to you." We might call this kind of search and rescue, or search and stay. Who are we to go to? Well, Jesus says, search out people who will listen. That's what he means by a worthy person. Search out people who will talk to you. Search out people who will be interested in what you have to say, who will welcome you. See, his disciples traveled from village to village. As they moved around, they were to search for people, they were to stay with people, and they were to speak with people. And that is a great pattern for us to follow today, as we seek to go with the gospel. Search, stay, speak. Now, at this particular time, we can't do that in the ways that we would be used to doing that. Might go door to door or stand out on the streets of Enfield Town. But there are still ways that we can do that during this time of lockdown. Even this week, a friend of mine was telling me that they're using this time of lockdown to go through friends they've not spoken to for a while. They're looking through their phone book and they're reaching out to friends and speaking with these friends, seeing how they are, how they're coping. They're taking the chance to try and speak about Jesus. Or you could make the most, perhaps, of the few public occasions that we do get together. The NHS clap, I know we've talked about that a couple of times, but as the neighbours come out their front doors on Thursday evening and they start clapping, actually that's a great time to pray, Lord, give me an opportunity to speak to someone today. Hang behind for a few minutes, talk to some of the neighbours, strike up a conversation, go to them with the gospel. If you go to the shops to get your bread or your milk, or you take your daily bit of exercise, don't just put your head down. No one seems to want to talk to anyone. Be brave. Say hello to someone. My kids absolutely hate it that every person we walk past I say hello to. But actually, for every few that you say hello to, someone might want to stop and talk. Take the gospel to people. Use the opportunities that we have. Who should we go to? Anyone who will listen. Anyone who might welcome us, even during this time of lockdown. So Jesus, what should we do? Proclaim a message. Who should we be taking it to? Anyone who will listen. Question three, though, which some of you may be thinking, is, but what if I don't have what I need? What if I don't have the skills I need? What if I don't have the resources I need? What if I don't have very good words to say? Well, Jesus would say in a story like this that he will provide what we need. So you look at verse 9 and 10. In verse 9, he says to the disciples, "Do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belts. No bag for the journey or extra shirt or sandals or a staff for the worker is worth his keep." Why does he tell them not to take stuff with them? Doesn't that seem a bit odd? It's not very good Boy Scout, is he? Be prepared. Now, Jesus is training his disciples to be dependent upon them, to be dependent upon Jesus for what they need for their mission. He instructs them to go and rely upon him to provide. Now, sure, Jesus will provide through means, even the means of staying in someone's house, but he wants the disciples to learn a crucial lesson that as they go, they've got to rely on him, not themselves. And the same is true for us. As we go, wherever that may be, we go depending on Jesus. That might be for the money that we need to do new mission work, to send out a new missionary. That might be that we have to depend on Jesus for the words to say. See, look at verse 19 a little bit later. He warns that they might get arrested, but he says, "Do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say." Jesus will provide as we go. Hudson Taylor, a famous missionary to China, said famously that God's work, done in God's way, will never lack God's resources. Go dependently, depending on Jesus for all that we need in the mission. He'll give you what you need. He'll give you the words to say. He'll give you the opportunity. He will help us rely upon him. So we know what we do. We've got a message to proclaim. We know who we're going to. Jesus says, depend on me for all that will happen in the mission. But question four, a question that may arise is, well, what do we do? Jesus, what do we do if people just aren't interested? I guess that most of us, if we tried to talk about Jesus or our faith with people, most of us will have had people who are not interested, who have glazed look on their face. They don't bite at the conversation. There's that awkward silence. Well, look at what Jesus says in verse 14. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. Truly, I tell you, it would be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on that day of judgment than for that town. I don't think Jesus is calling us to call down judgment on people if they don't listen to us. But I think Jesus is giving us permission to move on. If someone's not interested in what we're saying, go and find somebody else to talk to. See, just a word of warning, I think, here in these words as well. If you're listening to Jesus and you've heard what he's got to say, but you're ignoring him, then verse 15 is a warning for you. Verse 15 tells us, doesn't it, that actually to ignore Jesus is a serious thing. Things didn't end well for Sodom and Gomorrah on that day of judgment. Friends, if you're ignoring Jesus, listen to his warning. Verse 32 and 33 says the same. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Now, obviously, we can't shake the dust off our feet with some people. We live with them. We work with them. But Jesus isn't talking about those people. He's talking about the people we've searched out. If someone's not interested, he says, move on. Okay, we get this. We know that what we've got to do, we've got to preach a message. We know who we're going to, anyone who will listen. We trust Jesus to provide. We can move on if people aren't interested. But what about if people get aggressive? What about if people really turn against us? Well, in increasing ways, I think we find this true, that people aren't just indifferent to the message of Jesus, but they're now actively against it. And Jesus said that would be the case. As we share in the mission of Jesus, we can expect to be treated like Jesus. Just look at verse 16 with me. I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Now, I'm no animal expert, but I know that a sheep among wolves is a recipe for trouble. And so, you know, as we ask the question, well, Jesus, what if we face trouble? Jesus says, but you will. It's not if, but when. And where's that trouble going to come from? Verse 18, it's going to come from the authorities. It's going to come, shockingly, verse 21, he says, from our families. And then there's a bit of a catch-all in verse 22, you will be hated by everyone because of me. As Jesus spells out things for his disciples, he says in verse 34, do not suppose that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Jesus divides people. And so what should we do? Well, let me finish up with these things. Verse 16, we should be shrewd. He says we should be shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves. We've got to be wise. Wise about the way that we do, sensible about taking the message out to people. Don't be naive about the dangers. Don't go out looking for trouble. But we also need to be innocent. We need to be pure. We need to be faithful to the message. And verse 17, we should be on our guard. On our guard against people. On our guard against the dangers. But whilst being shrewd and innocent and on our guard, that we mustn't let that stop us from going forward with the message. Don't let it cripple you. Verse 22, Jesus says, stand firm. Stand firm to the end. This is the message that will save you. Don't let those who oppose us stop us believing the message. And verse 27, don't let it stop you speaking the message. Don't be afraid. Fear often makes us shut up. But Jesus says, speak up. Look at verse 27. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. We follow a Savior who faced opposition to the point of death so that we might be saved. And Jesus calls us to take up our cross and to follow him and to go to others with a message of life. What do we do when people get aggressive? when we face trouble for the message of the Bible, love Jesus more than we love life. Friends, as a church, we must gather and we must grow and we must still go in this time of lockdown. Followers of Jesus will share in the mission of Jesus, even in this time of lockdown, even when we can't go in the ways that we're used to going. He calls us to go with a message. Following Jesus will involve sharing in the mission of our Lord Jesus. Search out people who will listen. Depend upon Jesus to provide you with the words that you're going to say, with the resources that we need to keep going. And friends, go boldly. Go without fear as we anticipate being treated like Jesus. Friends, will you go? Will you go with the message even this week? May our Lord Jesus help us to be those who share in his mission as we find ourselves in this period of lockdown together. Let's pray together. Our gracious God and Father in heaven, we want to thank you that Jesus brought the kingdom of heaven near. Thank you that he came into this world to die and to rise again, that our sins might be forgiven, that we might be restored to relationship with you, that we might be promised the blessings of heaven in fullness as Jesus returns. Father, we praise you for Jesus. Thank you that you've entrusted this message to us. Father, please would you help us to be those who go, even this week, that we go declaring Jesus, that we go boldly, that we go searching for people, even this week, who will listen to that message. Jesus, thank you that somebody came to us with that message. Please help us to take it to others, to participate in your great mission in this world. And we ask for help in this, please, in your name. Amen. Good. Well, we're going to sing as we finish a song that is about proclaiming Christ. Christ we proclaim. He is our message. That's what it means to share in this mission of Jesus. So let's sing. Or just stay seated and listen to the words. But let's sing together, Christ we proclaim.
Creation, every name.
dies for fame. To live is Christ, to die is gain. Deny myself, take up my cross and follow the Son. Christ, we proclaim the name above every name. For all creation, every nation, God's salvation.
Thanks so much for joining us this morning. A couple of things to tell you about before we finish. We've just been thinking together about going, how we take the message of Jesus to others. To try and help you in that task, next Sunday, Sunday the 3rd of May, we're planning to run our Sunday morning service as a guest service, something that you can invite people to, where they can hear the message of Jesus, and where there'll be interviews about how being Christians, being followers of Jesus, has helped us in this particular time, and prayers and Bible readings. So look out for details on an email this week, but there's something you can be inviting people to watch next Sunday morning here on our YouTube channel. Second thing to tell you about is that as a church, we want to invite you to join us for a day of prayer and fasting next Saturday. That's Saturday the 2nd of May. The day will run from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. There'll be more details on a video and on an email coming out this week. But we'd love you to join us as we seek God's mercy on our country, on our world, at this time of the coronavirus. So please make time next Saturday to pray. Look out for details for how to get involved later on this week. Lastly, just to say that if we can help you in any way, please do make contact with the church office. We'd love to serve you, and we'd love to help you to get to know Jesus better. As we finish, let me close with a prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you that you are the God who sustains us, even in times of trial. Thank you that you are our ever-present help in these days of trouble. And we ask, Lord, that we would know your grace and your help this week for all that you call us to face. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Details for how to continue to give to the church will appear on the screen as we finish. Thank you.